This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Good morning. Welcome into another Friday edition of The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio. FM 105.7, AM 1340. As always, up over at FanRunRadio.com. Click that live link at the top, powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We got the Fan Run Radio app if you're mobile today. Go ahead and download that in App Stores. You won't miss anything. 12 hours of programming right in your back pocket or your front pocket. Get that. The Fan Run Radio app. As always, we got the Periscope up and running. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and Facebook. Another beautiful day in East Tennessee. Beautiful morning. And it's Friday. One step closer to the Vols taking on Colorado tomorrow. One step closer to the SEC Championship and all the conference championships this weekend. Let's take a quick time out, see how the guys are doing. Ryan, welcome back. How are you today?
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I'm doing good. Doing well. Had to drive around a little bit yesterday, which, you know, it's always one of those family obligation things where if you're the closest one around, you have to be the chauffeur every now and then.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
It was good, you know, spun that into a nice day, kind of just hanging out with the family again. It's been nice to have a lot of good family time lately.
Heck yeah.
I'm doing good. Glad to be back.
Hey, good to see you. GP3, how are you?
I am sad. Ooh. I am sad today because it is Friday and there is no Tennessee football tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's the official beginning. You know, now it's the wait to the bowl game, but it's the official beginning of football no longer here.
And it feels like all this just started, college football.
It really does.
And it's already gone.
It really does seem like it all just started. I know that we probably
make me cry.
We probably say that every year, though, too.
This year is the fastest.
It did. It just felt like
it. Felt like it was pretty quick.
Last year, I mean, it wasn't the same with, like, half capacity.
Last year, I was begging for the season to end.
Yeah. Like, last year didn't feel right. Now, this year, it flew by. And I don't know. Why does the best sport have to have the shortest season?
Keep you wanting more.
Yeah, but just give me more. I'll be happy either way.
Would you want more like the NFL now, where it's 365, to an extent?
No, but like, can we not do what we did last year and move FCS to the spring? That way, like, we have something to.
No, that doesn't really work at all.
I didn't even watch the FCS in the spring. Like, I know some people did. I didn't really get into it. I can only really get into, you know, major D1 football. So,
or like if we expand to like 13 or 14 games a season, just add in an extra bye week.
As soon as we expanded to 14 games, Tennessee would start out 12-0 and then lose the last two.
Probably.
That might happen. I mean,
then you would be able to go from, I guess, start in September like we normally do and then go all the way through Christmas.
Bowl season would just go so long, though.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, but it just.
Or maybe start the season earlier. Start it in mid-August.
I don't know.
So. Regardless, it's over for
the
most part.
I'd be all for some extra games. That'd be nice. But extra games, these guys already got NIL deals. Extra games, you definitely have to be paying them or something. But it'd be nice. I do feel your pain, though. It is pretty sad that, you know, here we are, another college football season in the books, and here we are, we'll be anticipating Tennessee's return next season after, you know, all of the ascension this year from where you were to where you are now and just the rebuild. So it's going to be tough to be waiting around for this team next year and waiting around to see what Hype can do in his second year. Charlie, how are you?
Not too bad. Gonna take an opportunity real quick to selfishly just ask something entirely unrelated to sports, but I found out recently my nose, my smell has just been messed up since I had COVID all the way back in February.
Okay.
And I found out recently, I thought it was just like, I thought I was alone. I thought it was just something wrong with
me.
No,
I know a lot of people.
And a lot of people, yeah, it's called parosmia. And like, basically just like, things don't smell the way they should. Oftentimes, it's just smell like rotten, taste rotten. Things taste awful. It's truly terrible. Like sometimes I just walk through the kitchen at work and like almost throw up just because the smell of something that should smell delicious smells like rotting meat to me. But I finally found, yeah, so I found out what it was and I started like doing research. And a bunch of people have like these home remedies to try to cure it. But I just wanted to take a second and ask if anyone out there knows any home remedies, has tried any home remedies, and has made it stop for them. Because I really want to be able to use my nose right again.
I don't know any remedies.
So if any of y'all know any, or if anyone listening,
wasn't
please,
there something about like boiling an orange peel?
I think that was just to get your smell back.
Uh-oh.
But I don't think it makes it normal.
I don't know.
I was hoping that maybe one of you guys would just be like, yeah, you know, back in 1947, you know, so and so discovered this crazy trick where if you hold your nose and flick the back of your head and jump up on one leg, it's better. So that's disappointing. But if anyone out there knows, DM me on Twitter, please. See Collier64. That'd be nice. Other than that, though, doing pretty good. Pretty good. Excited to see Tennessee this weekend against Colorado, against that 2-3 zone. It should be fun.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see the boys get back out there on the court. See how they can do versus their first real road true test of the first true road test of the season. Because, you know, the other games have been like neutral site. So, but this will be the first one. So it'd be nice to see how they play out there in Colorado. 865-546-8200-546-8200. That's our number to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines. All right, so let's take a quick break. On the other side, we'll start getting into Tennessee basketball. But I want to look at some numbers from the Tennessee football season that was. We're talking about how sad we are Tennessee football's over. Well, let's take a look back. Let's give a couple grades out there for the season. See if it met our expectations or, you know, see if it did not meet our expectations. We'll also look at the stats where Tennessee finished up. And CBS has a new ranking out, ranking all 130 teams entering the conference championship weekend. See where Tennessee ranks there as well. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz. We're broadcasting live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. This weekend, cheer on the Big Orange tomorrow as they travel to Colorado with some White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted with quality ingredients, White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and just a hint of fruit flavor. 5% alcohol, 1 gram of sugar, just 100 calories. Stay on the diet with this one. And now available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. As always, though, please drink responsibly. All right, time to talk about the season that was. Before we get there, though, quick housekeeping notes. Quick housekeeping notes, some breaking news. Well, it was pretty much official yesterday, but now it is official. It did come out that Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame, will elevate defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to head coach. Quick thoughts on that. Right move, right?
Yeah,
If you're not going to go out and get Luke Fickell, it seems with the elevation of Marcus Freeman in general, he was going to be a head coach soon. Why not keep the guy there that everybody in the country wants as DC? And it seems like, you know, you keep a little bit of continuity. They got to keep a lot of their assistants as well that didn't want to go with Brian Kelly. They got to keep offensive coordinator Tommy Reese. So they went ahead and elevated Marcus Freeman to head coach. Your thought, Ryan?
Yeah, I think this is the right move for them because he has been in that system, knows that system, worked hand-in-hand with Brian Kelly. And I'm a big believer in just the aspect of coaches kind of working their way through. As in not going for an outside hire unless you know it's like a surefire deal like a bunch of these big names we see. But Marcus Freeman, he's proven that he's a dog. That defense has done what is needed to multiple years coming. I think he'll be able to be good in the next step.
Yeah, well, he has done pretty good in his career so far. He's young, 35. He'll be introduced next Monday at 2 p.m. with his news conference as the Irish new head football coach. This was just his first season in Notre Dame, though, but like I said, he's been kind of climbing the ranks. He played linebacker at Ohio State. He was an assistant with Kent State and Purdue before joining Luke Fickell's staff at Cincinnati as defensive coordinator. He met with athletic director Jack Swarbrick on Wednesday, and they pretty much sealed the deal that day. He also met with offensive coordinator Tommy Rees, who announced that he was going to stay on. And, yeah, in his first season with the Irish, Freeman led a transformation on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Clark Lee to Vandy. The Irish ranked sixth nationally in interceptions with 15 and defensive touchdowns with 4, 7th in total sacks, 40, 11th in turnovers gained, 23 in scoring defense, 18.2. The 40 team sacks is one shy of the program record of 41 set during the 1996 season. So they had a really damn good year on the defensive side of the ball, and they should keep some stability there. Charlie, your thoughts? Kind of echoing the same thing, I'm guessing.
I don't know if it'll work out or not, but I feel like given the immediate aftermath of both Brian Kelly leaving and then the promotion of Marcus Freeman. I just can't say his name, apparently. given the reaction
yesterday you said
to that.
Freebird or something like that.
I said Mike.
Mike. Yeah, it was Mike. Mike Freeman. We call him Mike.
But yeah, given the response, the fact that there's so many assistants that really like Freedom.
A lot of people like Freedom.
Oh my goodness. That really like Freeman. A lot of assistants, they really like Freeman. They have a good relationship with him, and they chose to stay there with him rather than follow Brian Kelly to LSU, which is probably going to be a significant, you know, or not significant, but at least some sort of pay raise, obviously. You know, LSU is going to pay more to their assistants and, you know, probably obviously a more prestigious football school too. So, you know, I think it says something that a lot of them are choosing to stay. And then, two, when Notre Dame announced to their players that Freeman would be their head coach, I mean, the reaction was immediate, and it was through the roof. And, yeah, I mean, they were surrounded him, jumping up and down, celebrating. You know, so I think he's a player's coach. Now, being a player's coach doesn't always work out. But I think he's a guy that can have a lot of success there. Maybe more success than Brian Kelly can have at LSU. After seeing Brian Kelly fake a Southern accent last night.
Oh, did he do that?
Yes.
Yeah. Bad.
Yeah, he has a Southern accent now. When they family. Introduced him at the LSU basketball game, my family.
Somebody superimposed like two clips, like one from like less than a week ago of him saying the word family. At Notre Dame, and then him saying the word family at the LSU press conference.
Yep.
Someone gave him a little bit of red beans and rice, and he was just.
Come on, Brian Kelly.
I know it's funny right now, but man, it would be hilarious if this hire backfires on him.
Honestly, to me, seeing him fake an accent like that is enough for me to just go ahead and decide that he will fail miserably at LSU. I've decided it now. I don't think there's any chance that he's successful if he's faking Southern accents. I just think that I don't know. There's just something about that signals
fake
greater something greater there that's just gonna fail.
Now, if he'll lie to everybody about his accent, what will he lie to the recruits about?
Oh my god,
that's Brian my Kelly. Pitch.
In other news, Virginia football coach Bronco Mendenhall is stepping down. After the team's upcoming bowl game, he announced yesterday. Mendenhall, 55, has been 36-38 in six seasons at Virginia, including a 2019 Coastal Division championship and one of their first New Year's Six Bowl in the Orange Bowl that year. But he's going to step down, said it was solely his decision. The president asked him to stay. Athletic director asked him to stay. But he's going to reassess, reframe, and spend more time with his wife. So Bronco Mendenhall is out at Virginia. Also out is Virginia. Would that be a place for like a Jamie Chadwell to land? Is that a better job? Coastal?
No, I wouldn't. If I was Jamie Chadwell,
I don't know. I'm just.
I would maybe get out.
Yeah, I'm saying
if I were Jamie Chadwell,
get you a mid-level job, and then get you a bigger job after Virginia.
Well, what I'd wait out and see if somebody takes Fickell, because I think Cincinnati would be a much better spot for him than Virginia.
But I think also he might realize he needs to get out of Coastal
Carolina.
Get out now.
The only
other
thing.
His stock can fall fast. I mean,
you look at
how important Grayson McCall was to his success potentially. And obviously, I mean, just backup quarterbacks in general are hard to win with. But in the games that Grayson McCall wasn't able to play, I mean, they were losing as double-digit favorites and such.
Yeah, and that might be a good move for him to take like the mid-level job, Power 5 job, and then try to work his way up and get a better job. I was just thinking about that when I saw that Mendenhall was out. Also out, Steve Adazio at Colorado State, out after just two seasons. He gone as well. I don't watch much Colorado State football this year.
I probably watch more Mountain West football than any other conference.
They finished 3-9 this season, lost their last six games. He was ejected from the season-ending 42-point loss to Nevada because of two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
Yeah, no, they got off to a pretty good start, and then right before that six-game losing streak started, they had one of the weirdest wins possible, where basically the other team just gifted them a win by trying to half of them set up for a spike, the other half ran the field goal team off.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Anything done? Yeah,
yeah.
And then
from
there, it just went completely downhill.
Yeah, they waited. Purposely, obviously, till this Thursday to let him go. His buyout dropped from $5 million to $3 million on this Thursday. He was 1-3 in his first campaign in 2020, season shortened because of COVID-19 and the pandemic. But out after this year, after losing, like I said, those last six games, the school said senior associate head coach Brian White will serve as Colorado State's interim head coach while undergoes a national search for Adazio's replacement. Previously the head coach of Boston College for 6 years, from 2013 to 2019. Temple, 1 year, 2011 to 2012. And then he was on Urban Meyer's staff at Florida for the Gators National Championships in 2006 and also 2008. Adazio always thought looked like Jesse the Body. He looked like Jesse the Body Ventura. I always thought that when I looked at Adazio, because the bald head, you know, a pretty muscular guy, and then the mustache. It's obviously the mustache.
The mustache.
And then we talked about this briefly yesterday. And this will be one of our last housekeeping headlines, college football. But Ralik Brown, he is also joining Oklahoma Sooners coach, former coach, Lincoln Riley at USC. So we talked about, you know, the quarterback following. Then I think he's the number two running back in the country, maybe Brown is. But one of the ESPN top 300 running backs, he will also be taking his talents to Southern California, which is no surprise to anyway. He flips another football recruit from Oklahoma on Thursday. He is the 60th ranked recruit overall, the number six ranked running back out of Mater D High School in Santa Ana, California. So he gets to stay closer to home, too.
Yeah.
He gets to stay closer to home. So not really.
Oklahoma's falling apart fast.
They are.
And it's awesome to see it happen to a different school not named Tennessee.
Yeah, it really is. It is nice to sit back and watch all these other schools implode and, you know, lose a lot of players due to, you know, coaches leaving and, you know, them at the top. I don't know how long Oklahoma will be down, because I guess it just depends on who they hire as their coach. Is there any new movement on that front? Are they any like rumors they're closer to working a deal?
Maybe they're holding out for Luke Fickell. Who knows?
I think that they. Yeah.
I think most people just feel like he's not a big fit. That now we don't know Luke Fickell personally. And maybe he's just like, yeah, Oklahoma, if they come calling, I'm gone. But like, I don't know why he would want to come to the SEC. I think that changes a lot for a lot of coaches who would look at that Oklahoma job as more of a enticing job than the fact that they know they're coming to the SEC this next year. That probably plays a big factor for a lot of coaches out there.
Yeah, I saw, you know, some people out there trying to say, is Oklahoma going to become the next Nebraska, you know, basically changing conferences and kind of falling out of relevance. And, you know, I don't think that'll happen just because stylistically they're a lot different. And, you know, Oklahoma can recruit nationally, but this will be a really important hire. We'll see if they can take it to Tennessee level chaos or not, whether they can make a good hire or really mess up their program, because, you know, I think they're honestly the kind of athletic program, too, that would probably give their coach a good amount of continuity. So if they hire a guy that's not the right guy, I think they'll still be patient with him. And, you know, that could time up perfectly, I guess, with the move to the SEC. I mean, especially, you know, if he's bad and they want to fire him 2-3 years from now, that'll probably be right around when they're making the move to the SEC, and that'll be a terrible time to then fire and hire a new coach. I mean, so this is really one of the more important hires in college football history, in college football recent history. You know, this, I think, really kind of changes the course of, college football history the next 15, 20 years, either way, based on who Oklahoma gets. If they don't get the right guy, then I think they crumble into not necessarily mediocrity, but just, you know, your SEC team that wins 8 or 9 games a year, and every once in a while they break through with 10 or 11, and, you know, that'll be it. But if they make the right hire, then I think they can get, you know, their recruiting class back up and make the transition to the SEC.
Yeah, I agree with you. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. That's our number. Let's go ahead and open up the G3 Help Me hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation that you deserve and need. At G3, you matter most, so visit g3helpme.com or call them up at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Again, g3helpme.com on the other side. Let's go ahead and get into the Vols. I promise this time we will. Just had to go through the headlines. Keep locked here for more of the Blitz. Welcome back to the Blitz. Live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's Chance, Charlie, GP3, and Ryan. Let's go ahead and head over to the phone lines. Phone lines are open. G3 Help Me hotline, 865-546-8200. Take a call from Philly. What's up, Phil? Top of the morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Chancellor.
Hey, good morning to you.
Hanging in there. How's Chuck and Ryan and Trey the Third doing?
Doing good,
pretty
Phil.
Good. Pretty good.
They're breathing.
I'm here.
They're breathing. That's good. That's the way to do it. Guys, this Alabama-Georgia game, I don't have no feel on it. What kind of feel do y'all have?
I kind of have a weird feeling, too. It's one of those games where I think maybe Alabama has enough explosive athletes to be able to score some points against Georgia, but at the same time, Alabama's offense is probably going to end up being pretty one-dimensional on Saturday. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball at all. I mean, this is not this typical Alabama rush offense. You know, obviously they have Alex Leatherwood on that offensive line, but or no, they don't. I said the wrong name there. But anyway, I mean, obviously they have one talented offensive lineman whose name now escapes me. But the offensive line isn't as good as normal. You know, Brian Robinson Jr. and company aren't necessarily as good of backs as normal. I mean, they had negative rushing yards against LSU. Auburn was able to consistently stuff the run a week ago. So this is a game that Georgia really should win on paper, probably by even more than what they're favored. The biggest thing is, does Georgia let, you know, the game beat themselves, I guess, just playing Alabama and the pressure of that because of their history with Alabama. You know, they haven't actually ever been able to close in moments like these. So that's really the only thing that holds them back is, will they beat themselves?
Go ahead, Phil.
I think if Georgia wins, it'll be a blowout. If Alabama wins, it'll be a close game, because Georgia doesn't want to go into the fourth quarter within a close game.
I kind of look at it like kind of the same way. Like, I kind of don't know who I really want to pick in this one. I think Georgia, we all know, they've been the best team in the country all year. I mean, that defense is stout. But for just some reason, it's too tough to be looking at Alabama and think that Saban's not going to get it done when he has to. That's where I'm at. I think that, just like we saw in that Auburn game, although we can say, yeah, Tank Bigsby, go down, and the game's over. But at the same time, Alabama just finds a way to win. And we've always said, the cliche is, good teams find a way to win. Good teams win, bad teams lose. And I think that Alabama's going to win and find themselves probably in the championship against Georgia in the college football playoff. I just, for some reason, I don't – Nick Saban always pulls it out when we're all rooting against him. I think they're going to win on tomorrow.
Well, if Alabama wins, do they move to the one spot and Georgia to the two?
No.
Or would he put them at 2-3 and have them play again in the
semifinal? No, they would probably move to the one.
I think it would depend on what Michigan did.
They would probably jump Michigan.
Maybe Georgia moves down
to 4.
Given
the fact that Alabama would be beating the number 1 team and Michigan would be beating the number 18 team, they would jump Michigan, yeah.
Likely, but you never know. Michigan comes out and has a blowout.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I just find for some reason, I just think they're going to win.
Well, they might. I'm tired of them winning. I mean, I hate Georgia, but I'm tired of Alabama. Good Lord, let somebody else win it.
As much as people probably don't agree, I'd rather Georgia win this year than Alabama.
I'd much rather Alabama win it. What's another championship to Alabama? I don't want Georgia getting one. That's
just another. They're going to get one eventually.
I want Oklahoma State to win it personally.
Huh. Well, they're not going to backdoor Oklahoma State. There's a possibility, isn't there?
I mean, as long as they beat Baylor, almost every scenario, if they beat Baylor, has them finding a way into the playoffs, unless Alabama upsets Georgia, the rest of the favorites win, then they would still probably be stuck, you know, at fifth, looking on the outside looking in. But even in that case, I think they would probably jump undefeated Cincinnati.
Yeah, I could see them jumping Cincinnati.
Have y'all been following the SEC basketball? I'm going to talk about two schools in particular.
Yes.
South Carolina and Missouri.
Hilarious, Phil. So funny.
Looks like Frank Martin and Conzone will probably be fired after the season's over.
Yeah.
Those look pretty bad.
Frank Martin has also looked bad.
Ever since that Final Four run.
Which is unfortunate. I'm cool with him. I think he's a good coach. But South Carolina got absolutely pieced Wednesday night by Coastal Carolina. It was nearly a 30-point loss.
24 points.
And then I said nearly a 30.
I know. I was just saying, we started talking at the same time.
Liberty last night, I mean, they trop Missouri. They just smack them around. They treat them like their younger sibling. Missouri looked like a Division III basketball team against Liberty last night, and that's pretty consistent of Conzo Martin coach teams these days. Still just hilarious to me, all the uproar that the national media gave Tennessee fans when they didn't want Conzo Martin, when clearly he is a coach that consistently underperforms year after year after year after year, and is just as good of a guy as he is, as much as I like him as a guy, he's a pretty awful basketball coach.
I think he's a terrible recruiter is what his problem is.
I mean, is he that bad of a recruiter? I mean, Missouri's had talent. You know, they had Pinson recently. You know, Tennessee had talent when they were there with McCray, with
Kobe
Richardson.
Brown right now for Missouri is not a bad player.
Yeah, I don't even think he's a bad recruiter. I think he's just a terrible basketball coach. And then, you know, that's kind of sad for the guy because, you know, I think he is genuinely a really good person. And I think he's a guy that people around him like him. But, you know, being a good person doesn't make you win basketball games. And Missouri's lucky that they're even 4-4 right now.
What's the do y'all have a line on Tennessee, Colorado? Has that already come out?
There is not one out yet. If I had to guess, I'd say it's probably going to be like, I don't even know. Honestly,
3 or 4 points.
No, I'd probably put it around 6.
I would say I made a spread for us in our confidence picks. I put it at 5.5.
Yeah.
But I think it might be closer to 2.5, 3.5, just because it is Tennessee's first road game, and they do have some younger players. And Colorado looked pretty good for most of the night in their most recent game against UCLA. The thing is, they lost a game to SIU, and you know, I think that really takes their stock down. Colorado has looked very up and down this year.
Yeah. Well, I hope y'all will start talking about the trough like Rob did yesterday. See you.
Appreciate the phone call, Phil.
We had this conversation
I will never talk about the trough. That's stupid.
Are the troughs gone with the new construction?
I sure hope so.
I hope not.
If they're gone,
I'm done. I'm never going
to
another Tennessee
football
game.
You sound like the guy on the drive the other day.
We had this conversation during the summer.
I know.
The troughs.
We've had it. Yeah.
We've had it many times. Chances dumb. Stadium. All of us are smart. No. We love troughs. He's a hater.
You guys are weird. You guys are just weird.
It's fun peeing into a trough. I'm sorry. It is.
Tennessee, Colorado, though.
It's not any more fun than just peeing in a regular urinal. Just
anyway, Tennessee, Colorado. I know Phil brought it up. Yeah, probably anywhere from like 3.5 to 6.5. I don't know what Vegas is thinking with this one. Some college basketball lines have not made a lot of sense this year, especially favored home teams this year. I mean, you saw Cincinnati as, you know, just a 2.5-point favorite against Miami of Ohio the other night. Obviously, that Ohio State spread was weird. You know, consistently there's been some weird spreads. But I think Tennessee should be able to win this game by, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 points.
Yeah, I agree.
The biggest thing is going to be their 2-3 zone that they run. You know, last year when these two teams met, Tennessee got off to a really nice start in that game. And Colorado was largely running that man defense, and then they made a late switch to that 2-3 zone. In the last 11 minutes of the game, Tennessee only scored 11 points. And, you know, a lot of those were free throws when they were fouling you late, too. So Tennessee really, really had a difficult time with that 2-3 zone once they made that switch in the game last year. Obviously, you know, they've had quite a while to prepare for it since. And Rick Barnes even mentioned that that was, you know, one of the biggest parts of their preparation. They fully expect Colorado to show them that same 2-3 zone. But I think this is a much better equipped team to be able to beat it, just because I think you can, A, shoot yourself out of it, and then, B, you know, with Hatfield, with Kamwa improving, with Fulkerson, you can get some more athleticism flashing to the middle to help beat that zone too. But that'll be, I mean, really the biggest matchup of the game is can Tennessee crack that zone?
Yeah, it'll be on Kenny Chandler to do the things he's done most of the year so far. Dribble penetration, you know, breaking down defenses, trying to exploit them with his pace and, you know, the way he's been out there and been a floor general. Will be a lot on him. And then finding open shooters when they leak out. Guys like Justin Powell, find him for open corner threes and just spreading the floor against the zone and trying to hit the skip pass. That'll be a lot of what he'll have to do. And then you're looking for guys like John Fulkerson to have a better game, Olivia Kamwa to continue to be semi-consistent, you know, be a little bit tougher and continue to try and help Tennessee on the scoring side of the ball and be physical down low. And then let's see where Brandon Huntley Hatfield is in one of the bigger games for Tennessee so far this season. See how much he's going to improve in this game too. So a lot of things to look at. Josiah Jordan James, I believe his status is still unsure, still questionable for the game. He has a torn ligament in his finger.
We haven't lost since he's been out.
No. Yeah, Rick Barnes is still unsure whether his junior wing, Triple J, will be able to return to the floor. He's still not practicing with the Vols due to the torn ligament in the middle finger of his shooting hand. Meeting with reporters yesterday before the team left Knoxville for the two-game swing at Colorado and against Texas Tech in the Jimmy V Classic in New York. Barnes said, quote, "I don't know yet. I haven't talked to Chad Newman today yet about it. He goes through some of the warm-ups that we do in practice, but he hasn't had any contact in practice yet." So, 5-1 Tennessee playing 6-2 Colorado. Pretty big game Saturday, tomorrow. It'll be at 2 p.m. on FS1. And after the game, the Vols, basketball Vols, will fly to New York to begin preparing for Texas Tech at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday. And as GB3 said, James has missed the last three games with a torn ligament. So, it'd be nice to have him out there. Barnes has a lot of trust in him. He went on to say, "We have so much trust in him and know he will let us know when he thinks he can be effective out there doing whatever it is thinks he can help us with." Victor Bailey Jr. got the start last game, and he had a big game. So maybe he comes out firing again, or maybe you might even see a Justin Powell.
Yeah, I'd like to see Powell get that start against Colorado.
Well, Powell started in place of James against North Carolina. And how did he do that game? I can't remember.
Off the top of my head, I don't know. But he probably hit a few threes.
I just like him being an option off the bench, come in, be a spark. I don't know if I'd have to look at the
It is nice to have
him. In his career, does he do better coming off the bench? Is he better in the starting lineup? Ryan, what did he score that game versus North Carolina?
it looks like he got 8 points.
8 points.
He was 0 of 3 from 3 that game, but he was 4 of 8 from the field. Victor Bailey, though, he was 1 for 4 with 2 points. You know, Victor Bailey has been off more than he's been on this year. I think you're going to get more consistency out of Powell, but you could have maybe more explosive nights from Victor Bailey. You're going to get him maybe one out of every 4 nights, but every night from Powell, I think you can get 10 points. I think Powell needs more playing time, obviously.
Barnes will find a way. If Barnes don't want him in the starting lineup and wants him coming off the bench, then I trust my coach. 865-546-8200. About to wrap up hour number one on the other side. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. Welcome back to the Blitz. Live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Need to let you know that portions of hour number one have been brought to you by our friends over at, that's right, the FanDuel Sportsbook. This week at FanDuel, they want to help you get the most out of all your bets. So, go ahead and bet on the NBA. That's right. Basketball fans, celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, well, now is the perfect time to take a shot. See what we did there? It's easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. And now they accept Venmo. Fast withdrawals when you win. FanDuel doesn't make you wait. They pay your winnings, pay your monies, pay your ducats, your cash, in as little as 2 hours. With odd boosts and specials every day, and even some bigger super boosts each weekend, FanDuel is the place to be. Easy to place your bet fast during a game if you see a trend you like. And these same game parlays, I mean, with the NBA, there's so many options. We talk about with football, but the NBA is even more. There's assists, there's rebounds, there's alternate points. There's player performance doubles, the same ones that they offer for the MLB. They do it on the basketball side. I mean, you can bet on a triple-double, say with a Luka Doncic. You could even bet on, you know, a triple-double and a win. That's going to pay out more. So many options and so many markets on the FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel. If you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, well, FanDuel also wants to hook you up. They're going to hook all customers, existing customers, with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will also get $50 too. Just invite them using your exclusive referral link. That's right, you feel like a VIP, which can easily be found when you tap the refer icon. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook, just like us. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code BLITZ to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more of this NBA season. That's promo code BLITZ. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund is issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires within 14 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Speaking of the NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder should be, like, just, I don't know, they should be sued for malpractice after their performance last night. Did anybody catch this? They broke an NBA record, the largest defeat in NBA history, getting beat by the Memphis Grizzlies by a tune of 79 points. That is not MSA.
73.
Oh, it was 73. I thought
they
it was 79.
Scored 79 points.
All right, they scored 79.
They almost doubled them up.
They, I know that the Grizzlies had more points in the paint with 82 than the Thunder had in the entire game.
Are you familiar with Book It with Trent? Anyone?
Yes, I follow him on TikTok.
Is that like a gambling Twitter?
He is a gambler on TikTok. That is the.
The unofficial fade god.
He is the mush. The greatest mush of all time. It is, you know, truly a wonder to see him. Every pick in the last week alone, he's had, I think, three different four-team parlays go 0 for 4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just fade him all the time. His lock of the week yesterday was Thunder plus 9.5. So, you can thank him.
What's
for
his name?
You can book it with Trent. You can thank him for the Thunder getting that.
So the people just fade him all the time.
It's my new thing.
He did hit Cowboys minus 6 last night. He finally did hit one.
I put the Memphis and the Saints in a parlay. And decided to even get to reap the rewards of fading him last night. But every day I go check his TikTok, see what he's on, and then
it's just bet the opposite.
Yeah, just bet the opposite. He loses at like a 70% clip.
Is he losing on purpose?
No, I mean I don't think so.
Maybe.
Like, I don't know. Like, he got a lot of followers just for people following him just to be losing.
It's to fade him.
Yeah.
Is he that unlucky?
Yes.
It all started during the whatever.
I'll get on here and I'll start fading him, and it will not work.
Well, then you'll become it's like the Blitz from How I Met Your Mother. You'll become the mush.
Well, it all started during the Field of Dreams game, because that was when the first TikTok I ever saw of his, and he bet no runs in the first inning. And then with two outs, an 0-2 count, Jose Abreu hit a home run in the bottom of the first to, you know, basically make him lose that bet.
Oh, man.
And ever since then, he's just been on a horrendous losing streak.
I was about to say, he's definitely not been on fire.
And he loses in incredible ways. Like the other day, his lock of the week was an over in a basketball game. And like 9 of the 10 games went over, and the one that went under was the one that he had the over in.
It's pretty amazing. I'm gonna start checking out his tweets.
But it's really impressive, his ability to lose. It's so hard to just go 0 for 4 on parlays as consistently as he does.
On Thanksgiving Day, he got the spread wrong in every Thanksgiving football game.
Wow, it's pretty amazing. Wow, we'll have to go look. Hey, FanDuel, if you're about to bet on FanDuel, maybe go over to Book It with Trent's Twitter and fade him, and then you'll make even more money with our friends over at FanDuel. But, yeah, the Grizzlies just took them behind the woodshed, or even more. 152-79, largest defeat in NBA history. Raptors win last night, 97-93. Bulls edge out the Knicks close, 119-115. Suns win their 18th straight consecutive game. That's 114-103 over the Pistons. That was their the most games streak in Suns franchise history. And then the Spurs on the nightcap just obliterate the Trailblazers, 114-83. All right, hour number two. We got to get the top four, middle four, bottom four. We didn't do it yesterday. We waited for Ryan. We got confidence picks. We'll have to pick the Vols basketball game and more. It's a jam-packed hour number two, so you don't want to miss it. Stay here with us. Keep it locked. Hour number one is in the books. Hour number two, on deck.